All right, let's turn in our Bibles here to 1 Timothy chapter number 4. And here in 1 Timothy chapter number 4, we're going to use the first five verses as our reading for this morning. So 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. You have it, say amen. Let's read. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding the marry, and commanding to abstain from these, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Amen. Now, as you see here, and we know that, you know, Paul, he's writing these epistles to Timothy as, you know, Paul's sitting in prison. He knows that his, you know, time is short, and he's giving instructions to Timothy about what needs to be done in the body of Christ to make sure that the body of Christ keeps going forward. And you see how Paul, as he's writing here, he's talking about this issue of that there's a time that he's talking about. He says that in the latter times. Now, when Paul uses this term, you know, Paul is not talking about, Paul's not talking about things of, okay, you know, the ages to come, the day of the Lord, you know, these different things that are, you know, all part of Israel's program. When Paul uses this term, the latter, you know, this thing of in the latter times, he's talking about the, you know, end, the ending of this dispensation. What's going to happen to the body of Christ? And he's talking about here that, you know, some shall depart from the faith. That individuals are going to leave what the Apostle Paul has been teaching. And you see that in his epistles, he gives these warnings about what's going to occur. Let's go over to 2 Timothy chapter number 3. And here in 2 Timothy chapter number 3, you look right at verse 1, it says, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. So, again, he's going to be talking about this time frame of the last days, identifying as perilous times coming, and then he starts from verse 2 on, starts describing all of these things that are going to be coming about during that time. Now, what individuals have, you know, when they read this passage, and they'll look and go, well, that's describing the world. Mm. And then every generation reads through this passage and goes, well, that's us, because, you know, this generation is worse than the last one. And so every generation keeps saying, well, this is us. We're in these last times. And you can see things written hundreds of years ago. People saying, well, that's us. Now, you look at it today and go, no, it wasn't them. Look at the world now. It's so much worse. This is us. Yeah, it is 20 years from now. people are going to be going.
They thought it was bad then. Look at it now.
Look at what's going on. This doesn't describe... Well, because the world seems governed by who? Satan. He's the prince of the power of the air. You know, of course the world's going to be exactly like that. If that was the case, well, this dispensation would already be done. The perilous times is, this is what the body of Christ is going to become. All of these things that are laid out here are, you go through Paul's epistles and you see how he talks about that, you know, none of these things should be going on in the body of Christ. And this is who the body of Christ is. Everyone is then in this period of, you know, being away, you know, as he described it, shall depart from the faith. That people have gone away from that truth. That's why he gives, I think we can go over to chapter number 4. And he gives another warning here of, starting in verse 3 of 2 Timothy 4, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. Now, here's the thing, that there's a time coming when individuals are not going to endure sound doctrine. Now, we see that, you know, unfortunately, in, you know, some denominational churches today where, you know, all right, we're going to start reading from the Bible, and they'll read a verse or two and kind of almost do this thing of, well, that's enough of that. And I just start talking and has nothing to do with sound doctrine. Now, that's the world system. You know, that's the body of Christ shouldn't be doing that. However, you can already see it's starting. You know, and I'm going to say, and I'm not going to mention the name of this assembly. If you come up and ask me after, I'm not going to tell you who it is, but I know of at least one assembly that teaches the Word of God rightly divided. That if you ask them what the gospel was, they would tell you that the gospel message is that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and he rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures. That's the gospel that they would tell you. And what they do is that there's a month that happens to have 5 Sundays. Guess what happens on the 5th Sunday? It's a praise and worship singing service. And the Word of God is never open. Now, there's no doctrine being taught. That's the start of not enduring sound doctrine. Because, well, if it happens then, well, you know what? Maybe we need to start doing, you know, once a month, even on the other months. And now all of a sudden it becomes every other week. Then all of a sudden it's just, well, once a month we'll actually have a message. And now, you know, it's just singing praise time all the time. And the Word of God being left behind. This is the warning that Paul gives, because the farther that individuals get from
the Word of God, the easier it's going to be for those things to actually happen.
To where he thinks about some shall depart from the faith. Because we know where faith comes from.
Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God.
So, if the Word of God isn't being taught, there's nothing that's going to produce faith. And we always said that when we talk about that idea of the Word of God being taught, that it always has to be taught in the principle of study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman in need is not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Because otherwise, then it just becomes a thing of, all right, here we go. Here's our next passage. Therefore the Jews of the village that dwelt in the unwalled towns made the 14th day of the month Adar a day of gladness and feasting and a good day and of sending portions one to another. There you go. There's your word of God for today. Apply that to yourself, and if you do that, you're going to receive God's blessing. But that's what how many times do people do that as a thing of that I need an answer to my problem and randomly open their Bible and do just that, or close their eye and just point to a passage and then, well, there's the answer. I don't know what answer you get out of what I just read, but that supposedly is the answer to the question. And that's where, if it's all just this promising that I don't understand like the vision, I get away from that faith. So that's why you see Paul talk about how the information was given specifically to him. Let's go over to Galatians chapter number 1. And we'll read here verses 11 and 12 of Galatians chapter 1. It says, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. And what are the arguments that individuals start to create related to the Apostle Paul is that he just wrote his own thoughts. This is just, his interpretation of things, and, he understood the exact same thing that Peter did, but it's, his thoughts on it. So it's not really the Word of God. He defines it right here and says that what was given unto him, he didn't receive it of anybody other than the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the Word of God given to him by the Word that says, this is what you need to be communicating to man. This is what you need to be telling people for them to be saved. This is what you need to be telling them so that way they can be edified and they can grow in the knowledge of God's Word. That way they know, okay, they have the doctrine and now they know what they're supposed to be doing in their life. That way they can be pleasing unto God. This is what was given, that way it can be given to that next generation. That way this generation can be going out and can be teaching other people. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. Committing the things that faithful men, so that they can be able to teach others also. Because that's how the body of Christ is going to keep going is by the next generation rising up, teaching, and then the next generation after them rising up and teaching it. And each generation keeps going. And what happens, you know, the reality of things is, you know, when you look at the understanding that we have is, okay, you know, this generation got to here. The next generation builds on that. They get this understanding. Then the next generation comes along and they're able to understand something. Keep building upon what the previous generations studied and understood, to keep growing in that knowledge of God's Word rightly divided. That needs to occur, because otherwise you're going to see that people departing from the faith. People leaving what he just said is, you know, it was given to him by Christ. You see him hold up an assembly. We can go over to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. We're going to read here verse number 13 of 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. It says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God which effectually worketh also in you that believe." So here we have this assembly that was taking the information that was given to them by the Apostle Paul, and they were accepting it as the Word of God. They were taking it in, and it was working in them. Which also gives you the issue of that the Word of God can only work in someone, which is, worketh also in you, it says, that believe. The Word of God cannot work in someone if they have not put their trust in the gospel message. And doesn't matter how many times, you know, they could read Genesis through Revelation cover to cover, you know, once a month, every month. And if they have not put their trust in the gospel, it's not going to have any impact on them in a manner that would be pleasing to God. And I say that because, you know, could it have some impact on them that would be pleasing to man? Yes. It could. But the things that are pleasing to God can only start when somebody has salvation. Because that's the only place that gold, silver, and precious stones can actually be built. And without salvation, it doesn't matter what a person does. They could live a life that everyone would say, well, of course God would let them into heaven. Look at all the wonderful things that they've done in their life. How you know, a Mother Teresa. Did she do a lot of, you know, wonderful things that would be wonderful in the eyes of men?
Absolutely.
Yes. Did she put her trust in the gospel of the grace of God? I'm going to guess, based on, you know, some of the things that she was, probably not. And if she didn't, you know, all of those things that man would say was so wonderful, the Word of God says, it's filthy rags in the eyes of God. Because it's man's righteousness trying to earn salvation. And it's not man's righteousness that's the issue. It's the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ that's the issue. And it's that righteousness that we have applied to us the moment we put our trust in the gospel. And the moment that happens, then the Word of God can work in us. Then the Word of God can have, then we can have that faith that Paul's warning about and saying, you know, people are departing from that faith. Because, you know, God does have the will that all men would be saved. Then there's that separate, and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. He wants individuals to understand, you know, here's what has been given to you. You know, read, study, you know, apply it to your life. This is what was happening here in Thessalonica. As he described it, he's thinking because this is what they're doing. Now, that's the good side of this local assembly. Now I'm going to take it to the bad side and take it to the issue of, as Paul's saying, some shall depart from the faith. Because as much as he holds them up here and says, you know, how wonderful they are that they've done this, he doesn't always hold them up in that manner because they're not always doing what he just wrote here. Because you see, well, just see the first example that's in the West, you see what he actually says about them. We go over to 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. And we're just going to read the first two verses of the chapter here. It says, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Now he had just held them up and said, you've accepted the things of, you know, what I've been teaching is the Word of God. It's working in you. And now he's here saying, you know what? Now I have to beg that you not have your faith being shaken. I have to beg that you have the understanding. You know, I've taught you these things. I've given you the understanding. And you're now being troubled. It says, neither by spirit nor by words. And now somebody's telling them things. Nor by letter as from us. People falsifying. Well, here's what, you know, here's this new word of God from Paul, you know, contradicting, you know, what, you know, was said, you know, over here, and saying, you know what, you know, this is at hand, and they're being shaken in their faith. They're not accepting what the Word of God had actually said. We can go over to 2 Timothy. Let's go to chapter 1. And we read here verse number 15 of 2 Timothy chapter 1. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. So now he's saying, yo, there's, you know, all these that are in Asia. Now, you can go through, you can see that there's a number of cities that he visited that were in Asia. You know, now, you know, for, you know, for to help people in geography with this, you know, Asia is not Japan, China, Korea in this context.
when it says Asia here, this would actually be the area was, you know, it's called Asia Minor, which would be, actually be the area around Turkey and some of those countries, you know, where they are today. So, you know, don't picture, you know, please don't picture Japan. You know, as Paul is saying that all there in Asia, he did not make it over to Japan during his ministry. With that. But now let's go over to chapter 4. You know, the very last piece of what he's writing. You know, in chapter 1, he's just kind of doing this general thing of, you know, all that is there in Asia have turned away from me. Now he's going to start naming names. Verse 10, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, crushed into Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. So he names Demas, Crescens, and Titus. And says, you know, these people have loved, they've forsaken me because they love this present world. And by them loving this present world, forsaking Paul, they go unto, you know, one goes to Thessalonica, one goes to Galatia, one goes to Dalmatia. Now, if there was a functioning body of Christ there that knew these individuals, and all of a sudden, the person walks in. And what's the first thing that's going to
be? Praise the Lord, brother. You know, what? You know, we're meeting today. Why don't you come fellowship with us?
Now, is someone who loves this present world, are they going to be going to a place where they know that's going to happen? Or are they going to go to, you know, a place that they know that, you know what? There's no functioning body of Christ. I can just go and I can live like the world.
And that's what they really would have wanted to have done. And you see that Demas, he goes to Thessalonica. The place that, you know, we just had read, that Paul was holding up and saying, you're accepting this as the Word of God. It's working in you. It's having an impact, building up your faith. And by the end of his ministry, they're just like this present world. They've departed from the faith. They've walked away from the distinctiveness of the Apostle Paul. Walked away from this gospel message. And it's no longer having an impact in their life. This is where and why Paul gives all these warnings about making sure that this doesn't happen to individuals. He describes a thing. We can go over to Ephesians chapter number 4. We read here verse number 14. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lay in wait to deceive. We have Paul, as he type of things, saying that, you know, trying to warn this assembly to, you know, be not like children that are being able to be tossed to and fro, you know, and that no matter what's being taught to them, they're just believing that. And that occurs when people aren't grounded in the Word of God rightly divided. If people aren't studying, if they're not applying the doctrines to themselves, you know, they can hear someone, see someone go, oh, I love that and I agree with that, praise the Lord. And then they hear someone see something completely opposite of that. I love that and I agree with that. Praise the Lord. It's how you can help somebody teach, you know, James chapter 2 one week, tell you it applies to you. Then the very next week, come around and teach you Romans chapter number 4 and tell you it applies to you. And you go, and both times go, yep. I see exactly what you're saying. Praise the Lord. You know, one telling you have to have faith and works in order to be saved. The other one telling you you only need faith and you don't need your works. And going, yep, they both apply. And depending on, you know, what time, which time you're going to tell me, which one applies to me, yep, it applies 100% to me at this point. It's being tossed to and fro. You know, and that's the, you know, the danger sometimes, even when we look at things, and I'll use the example of, you know, Richard Jordan having, you know, the ministry, you know, now that's on and I forget which station it's on, I gotta actually update our newsletter of where there's, he has a program on Monday nights on one of the Christian television stations. Okay? And so somebody watches the program before that, they hear the message, and, you know, all of a sudden it's, you know, well, we hear this, and, you know, it's teaching something, you know, that, you know, the gospels apply to us today. You know, praise the Lord for that. And then, all of a sudden they hear the dispensation of the grace of God being taught. And they go, well, you know, praise the Lord for that. And then the next message comes up and teaching, you know, something completely different. Well, you know what? Praise the Lord. The danger of what happens, because, you know, the reality is that, you know, his, you know, what he's broadcasting on there is not going to agree with anything else that's on his station. Unless somebody actually stumbles across the truth one day, and it, or for that one message, you know, you can have individuals, you know, and, you know, and I'm going to start naming names. You know, you have Joseph Prince one day can, you know, teach a message out of Romans 6. And you go, wow, he really understands this. And then the next time you hear him, he's talking about how the Gospel of John applies to you. And then you're going, wasn't it the guy I just heard that was talking about, you know, sanctification, and sounded like he really understood the grace of God? And now he's talking about that. One of the best presentations I've ever heard on understanding on the dispensations and laying them out. John Hagee did it. And he had on his stage, if you've ever seen his television broadcast, those giant charts that he had. And actually how it caught my eye was I was flipping through and I saw his big chart and I'm like, this kind of looks familiar. And I stopped and he had all the dispensations laid out. And he did a phenomenal job talking about dispensationalism, talking about the difference between the dispensation of the law and the dispensation of the grace of God. And I'm like, I know he doesn't believe that.
Yeah.
I've heard him on other things. But he did a tremendous job teaching it. Now, is someone going to be, you know, the people who are sitting there hearing that, who are actually, for once, actually hearing truth, who, you know, it's not even having an impact on them, because the gospel that he's teaching them for salvation, they don't have salvation. So the moment that he's actually teaching that truth, it can't even work in them. And we see what happens even today in the body of Christ, where individuals have walked away from the understanding of, you know, what is the gospel for today, understanding that Paul is our apostle, understanding that Romans through Philemon is where we get our doctrine. And, you know, most of the times individuals who do that, you know, turn into, well, their whole ministry, because they're just going to attack, you know, dispensational thought. But they walk away, they depart from the faith. They no longer have the impact that they're supposed to have because they didn't heed the warnings. They didn't heed the thing where Paul starts talking about the issue of, as he describes in our text, as I'm going back there, of, you know, some should depart from me, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. They don't understand that that's what's happening. And we, Paul's message, you start looking at, yeah, you're seducing spirits. You, our warfare, you know, when he talks about in Ephesians 6, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And so I'm talking about the whole spiritual warfare that's going on and the preparation that we're supposed to have to be able to fight that battle. And as he describes it, the only weapon that he actually gives us is the Word of God. Because it's the Word of God which is actually going to do the work. But he says it's not only that those seducing spirits, he calls it the doctrines of devils. And when you see that, let's go over to 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. We start at verse 3. Here it says, "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him." And so here Paul starts talking about this subtlety that starts happening. It's beguilement that happens. And the result of it is that it corrupts an individual from the simplicity that is in Christ. Now, how much more simple could it be than I'm putting my trust in what he did on the cross, and by doing it, I'm saved? That's the simplicity that's there. Now, here's the subtlety that comes along with it. Here's the gospel message. And all you have now to do with me, brother, just pray this prayer with me now. And once you pray this prayer with me, you now will now have your salvation. I've corrupted someone from their simplicity. Or, you know what? Here's the gospel message. You know, there's one thing left. You know, we've got this tank of water back here. We just have to dump you in that real quick, and you'll have that salvation. Or, you know, ask Jesus into your heart. He's standing at the door of your heart knocking. He wants to come in. And all you have to do is just open the door of your heart and let him in, and you'll be saved. All of, you know, some of these things coming from Scripture, some not, but They all have this sound of, it sounds good, it sounds right, but it's corrupting someone away from that simplicity. And Paul takes it apart and says that someone's going to come preaching another Jesus. Well, that other Jesus, and I keep putting this down and I never remember where he actually put it.
That other Jesus is here. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. How many times do individuals, if they're going to talk about Jesus, they say, well, you got to go back to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
You got to go back to the red letters and read his words, and then you're going to understand that's not the Lord Jesus Christ that is being preached in this dispensation. It's Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. That's why Paul can talk about the thing of, you know, the foundation that he laid, which is the Lord Jesus Christ being preached according to the revelation of the mystery. But he's warning, saying, someone's going to come and they're going to preach another Jesus. They're going to talk about an issue of if you receive another spirit. You know, and that's the difference of, you know, when you look at the ministry of the Spirit during the early part of the book of Acts. You know, the Spirit came upon somebody and it would come upon them. They would start ministering the gifts. And then the Spirit would leave. And then it would come upon them again. And they would demonstrate the gifts. And then it would leave. You know, that's why you see that issue of, you know, being filled with the Spirit. You know, in Acts chapter 2. Then you see Paul, who uses the same terminology in Ephesians 5. But then in Colossians 3, he defines exactly what that means. He says, let the word dwell in you richly. The word working in you is the Spirit filling you. The Spirit seals you, and the word works in you, but you're not going to demonstrate gifts. And the Spirit's not going to leave you. But there's another Spirit or another gospel. Can I find another gospel in Scriptures? I could find the gospel of the kingdom, you know, preaching, you know, as, you know, John 3:16. I could find Acts 2:38, you know, repent and be baptized for remission of sins and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. I can find those things. And somebody can preach all of those things and start taking the people away from that truth. Because you see, we're here in this chapter, let's skip down here to verse number 13. It says, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. And this is where the battle is being fought today. Of individuals, you know, having that appearance of, you know, I'm teaching the truth, and they're teaching everything but. You know, they're, you know, and they have that appearance because, well, I taught you from the Word of God, but I didn't teach the Word of God rightly divided. And so now I'm trying to apply, you know, the things out of, you know, the Sermon on the Mount and saying, you know what, that's doctrine that you need to hear for yourself. Or, you know, I'm going to teach you the parables. You know, and yes, you can teach those things, you know, but you teach them in their proper context of, you know, okay, here's the doctrine that you know, the Lord Jesus Christ was giving to the nation of Israel, and the doctrine that they needed to prepare themselves for the kingdom. But Paul's going to say some very different things about those same topics. And here's what the Apostle Paul says. And taught that way, so that way when somebody comes up and says, you know, well, the meek shall inherit the earth, brother.
That, you can say, well, you know, that's great, but you know, the Apostle Paul says that we're blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Our conversation is in heavenly places. We have a heavenly home. You know, we're not supposed to be waiting to inherit the earth. We're waiting for a heavenly home. You know,
and you can have that understanding and know exactly why,
you know, what it, the earth was promised to the nation of Israel. And
understand exactly why an individual's twist those things together. They make it seem like, well, this is what the hope for an individual really is supposed to be. And it's that the battle line that has actually been drawn. And Paul, actually in our text, gives a couple of examples. Let's go back to our text in 1 Timothy chapter 4. We see here in verse number 3, when he says, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. Now, these two things he just gives as, you know, examples here to really show what individuals are going to do to actually try to take people away from the truth of God's word, rightly divided. So you have, I think of that individuals are going to, you know, say what, you know, that, you know, somebody shouldn't be married. We can all think of a denomination that where their leadership says that, you know, they shouldn't be married. And, you know, that leadership is all coming about because, you know, Peter was their first pope. I gave you who this is. And Peter's the example. Well, when I read through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and looked at Peter, I saw a discussion about, you know, Peter's mother-in-law being healed. Now, words kind of, you know, have a meaning. So if he has a mother-in-law, that means he had a wife to have a mother-in-law. So that means Peter was married. So if Peter is the pattern, and Peter was married, and they're supposed to be following what Peter did, then that means that he should be married too. But forbid to marry. Taking people, you know, and what did Paul, you know, Paul describes, you know, in Ephesians 5, what the marriage should look like. If there's the idea that people shouldn't be married, why would he go into that type of a detail about something that shouldn't even be in place? They talk about, you know, abstain from meats, which God has created to be received with thanksgiving to them which believe and know the truth. And then he says, for every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. He said, that's every creature. Now, we very clearly, you know, can see that, you know, the dietary laws changed
over time. You know,
back in the book of Genesis,
you know,
at the creation of man,
you know,
they were told they eat of, you know, eat of the fruit of the ground. They eat just fruits and vegetables. Why? But they were,
and that existed all the way up to Noah. And then I say to him, well, you know what? Just as all the plants and animals are for food, everything, you know, the animals are too. Then the law comes upon and says, you know what? Now we're going to divide up. There's, you know, here's a list of animals that you can eat. And here's a list of animals that are unclean. And a lot of those went there unclean. It tastes pretty good. But under the law, you couldn't eat those. And here Paul's saying, you know, every creature of God is good, and nothing can be refused. You know, and it's as if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. You know, and you know, as long as an individual is giving thanks to God, they can, you know, you can have the pork chop and the bacon and the catfish and the shrimp and all the other things that under Israel's program a person said, you know, they couldn't eat. Now, how many times you see these things of where, you know, you say, well, you know, it'd be much healthier if you went back and, you know, followed that diet. Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you lived like that, you know, you'd be, you know, much, you know, you'd be in a much better place, and, you know, God would be pleased with you because, you know, and you could always see, well, you take it to a performance system. You're taking, well, the word of God here, which is applying to a different group of people, and think this is what you're supposed to be doing. Paul very clearly lays out, you know, that you can eat anything. And, you know, that's where you get into, you know, thing of in Romans 14, that there's individuals who think you can eat, there's individuals who think they can't, all because there's instructions that lay out both sides. And it was an issue when Paul was writing that, because there were individuals alive who had both sets of instructions. And they were interacting with each other. And, you know, essentially they were judging each other based on, well, you know, your program says you, you know, you're supposed to do this. We do this. You know, I'm more righteous than you, because, you know, look at all the things that I've done. Very similar to what you see the Pharisees doing in over in Mark, where, you know, not only are we keeping the law, but he did all these other things. And look at us. You're so righteous. And Paul said, you know what? It's not the, you know, performance is not the issue in this dispensation. And individuals take it that way. They twist things around. They take things that, you know, are not part of what Paul has given us, get it into our dispensation. And that's why you say about their conscience seared with a hot iron. You know, they're speaking lies and hypocrisy. And it's called hypocrisy because they know the truth. And yet, they're speaking a lie. And they know the truth because, you know, they had had that understanding of what God's Word said to them at one point. They walked away from it.
they started teaching something else. And as a result of this, is what occurs to them. That's why you see Paul get into a whole discussion over 2 Timothy chapter number 2 about the responsibility of trying to, and let's go there, because I was about to start paraphrasing it, and I don't want to do that. We start in verse 24 of 2 Timothy chapter 2. It says, "And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, that God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will." And the result of when individuals turn away from the things of God's word rightly divided, they're caught in the snare of the devil. And it describes being caught there because if I'm quote unquote teaching the word of God and I'm not teaching the distinctiveness of Paul, if I'm not teaching the gospel of the grace of God, if I'm not teaching the doctrine out of Romans through Philemon as being the only thing that's for today, if I'm not doing those things and I'm quote unquote teaching scripture, I'm not doing God's will. I'm doing what Satan would have me to do. I'm caught in his snare. And the only way that someone's going to get out of that snare is to get back to the truth of what God's word says. For us, our danger is always that we have to make sure that we're not getting caught in that. We have to make sure that we continue to study, that we continue to hold fast the form of sound words. We have to make sure that we continue to stand in the doctrine that's been given to us. As Paul said, "Follow me as I follow Christ." Well, he gives us exactly how to do that because he gives us his epistles. He gives us the Word of God, which tells us, "Hey, here's what you do. Here's how you, here's your doctrine. Here's how it's going to apply to you." So that way, I have this understanding of, as a doctrine, this is how I'm going to live my life according to the doctrine. And as I do that, I'm building the gold, silver, precious stones, and I'm pleasing to God. Anything else is void, hay, and stubble. It's nothing that's going to be pleasing unto God. And that's where, we continue, and we're living our lives, we continue studying, we watch and make sure that we're doing exactly what God would have us to do according to the doctrine that's been given to us. Now, having